You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hello, men. Welcome back to the podcast. It's Pastor John. We're continuing on in this Fathers and Sons series. I hope that you've already been using this to have intentional conversations with your sons, and hope you've been encouraging them to do the same thing if they're at a point in their life where they already have children, maybe even something you can do together with them and your grandsons. Today, we're going to look at really three different topics related to the things we should be intentional about pouring into our sons, the things that we should be intentional about not only modeling, but also having conversations with them, speaking words of truth. I mentioned on the last podcast, I've been going through the book of Proverbs with several different men at our church, and I'm just impressed with Solomon's intentionality. And Solomon was described as the wisest man on the earth at the time that he was alive. And so just how intentional he was about putting words down for his children, speaking words of truth into the lives of his sons. And I hope that you and I would be serious about that. I hope that we would take the time to do it. It won't just happen. It's not easy. We're probably not as articulate as Solomon was. I know I'm not. I know sometimes I fumble over my words. Sometimes I don't communicate exactly what's on my heart. But even in the midst of that, there is value when you and I have intentional conversations with our sons. And so the first thing that I want to talk about today is forgiveness. Not only extending forgiveness, but asking for forgiveness. I think this is something that we should really instill in our sons. You know, teaching our sons the value of forgiving those who have wronged them, but also of asking for forgiveness when they have wronged others, should be a high priority in our lives. Modeling it in our own lives. So making sure we're doing that. Do our boys look at us and see someone who's willing to say, I'm sorry? Do they see someone who's willing to admit when we've made a mistake and ask for forgiveness? And do they also see someone who can forgive others when they have wronged them? And I think maybe one of the reasons this was so high on my list when I was thinking through this series, I don't know if I ever heard my dad say, I'm sorry. And I don't want to bag on my dad. I love my dad. I had a great relationship with my dad when he was alive, but I don't think my dad ever said, I'm sorry. And if he did, there was always a but in there. There was always a justification there. You know, I'm sorry I did X, but here's why I did it. And I think most of us know that's not a genuine apology. A genuine apology is, I'm just sorry. What I did was wrong, or what I did hurt you, and I'm truly sorry for that. So let's walk through a couple of passages that reinforce how important this is. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. When I see that phrase, make allowance for, which is how the NLT translates it, to me that means I should just expect it to happen. I can actually make an allowance ahead of time. I can have realistic expectations about my relationships. One of the things that I encourage men and women when I'm doing premarital counseling is go into the relationship expecting your spouse is going to disappoint you. Now, certainly, hopefully they work hard in their marriage. They don't, you know, walk around saying, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to disappoint my spouse. That's not the point at all. The point at all is we're broken people. And in any relationship, a marriage relationship, a parent-child relationship, relationships with brothers or sisters in the church, relationships with unbelievers, they're going to let us down. They're going to disappoint us. We're going to disappoint them. And so we just need to make allowances for that to happen. We need to plan on it ahead of time. Now, the original Greek word that's translated make allowance in the LT really more means to bear with or endure. In fact, some translations, it talks about bearing with one another's faults. So we endure. One of the ways I like to think about that, guys, is sometimes we just eat it. Sometimes we just bear it. In other words, we don't bring up every sin against us. I'm so thankful that my wife doesn't feel the need to bring up every single time I've disappointed her or let her down. Now, we do need to bring it up sometimes. Don't just stuff it. Don't just sweep everything under the rug. Don't go to that extreme. But if all you and I did was walk around and point out the shortcomings of other people, that's a full-time job. That would take up all of our time, and we would not be very pleasant to be around. So sometimes we just eat it. Sometimes we just bear it. And I think it's important for us to talk to our son about that, to let our son know, you know, son, I don't bring up every single time that you sin against me. Sometimes I just choose to forgive you and not even bring it up. Now, we need to choose to forgive them whether we bring it up or not. So that's the other thing that I think is important for our sons to know is when we forgive, again, we don't always have to bring up the offense. But whether we choose to bring it up or not, we forgive. I think, too, it's important for us to model how to say, I forgive you. I think we need to be very specific about that. In other words, and I know I've been guilty of this, when my son or my daughters have apologized to me for something, I know at times I've said, it's okay. Well, here's the problem with that, guys. It's not okay. Sin is not okay. It's not all right. It grieves God. So we don't forgive because it's okay. So learning how to say, I forgive you, I think is extremely important. Because if we don't model that, then our children may make the connection that forgiving someone means I kind of say it's all right. You know, forgiving someone means it wasn't really that big of a deal. I shouldn't have been wounded so much. And that's not what forgiveness is at all. Forgiveness is, yeah, you did hurt me, or you did disappoint me, or you did do something you said you wouldn't do. Whatever the case is, it was wrong, but I forgive you. So let's be careful about how we speak when we're offering forgiveness. Let's make sure we're using those words of, I forgive you. And when we're the ones asking for forgiveness, let's not try to justify it. Let's not come up with all the reasons why we think we were somewhat justified in behaving the way that we did. Let's just ask for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness is a way of taking ownership of our mistakes. Asking for forgiveness is a way of accepting responsibility for our choices. And in the context of teaching our sons, there is nothing more manly than that. We need more men who take responsibility. We need more men who take ownership when they mess up. That's going to make you be a better leader. Some of the most precious times that I had with my sons is when I had to ask them to forgive me. That I had done something wrong. I had wronged them. I had been overly harsh with them. I had been impatient with them, whatever. Unfortunately, I can think of many, many circumstances where I had to ask my sons to forgive me. And it was awesome, though, in the aftermath of that, for them to express, Dad, I forgive you, and know that our relationship was restored, and know that I had modeled what it looked like to ask for forgiveness and had given them an opportunity to choose to forgive. And if you think maybe your kids are too young for those kind of conversations, I would encourage you to have second thoughts about that. That they're probably not too young. This whole concept of forgiveness and forgiving others starts when our kids are really, really young. Another passage that speaks to this is Ephesians 4, verse 32. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we don't just model forgiveness. We don't just talk to our sons about forgiving. I think we want to make sure we put the why in there. The reason we forgive is we've been commanded to do so, and the reason we forgive is we have been forgiven. Now, when I think of some of my relationships, I certainly have some relationships where I feel like I have been wronged more than I have wronged the other person. I think all of us could think of relationships like that where we would say, look, it's not 100-0, but man, it sure feels like it's 90-10, and I'm on the 10% side. I've been wounded much more than they've wounded me. But in my relationship with God, it is absolutely 100-0. that anytime there's conflict in my relationship with God, I am always the one at fault. God never is, and yet God still chooses to forgive me every time I ask for forgiveness. So explaining the why behind forgiveness is so important. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking and he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And what a challenging verse that is. What an important warning that is for us, that we need to be men who know how to forgive. Again, why? Because our sins have been forgiven. And we probably all know men who walk around in unforgiveness. And when people walk around in unforgiveness, they're bitter. They aren't at peace. They tend to be less kind. They tend to be less gentle. We don't want that for our sons. I don't think there's anyone listening who would want our son to walk around and be a bitter person, who would want our son to have a home life where there's not peace, to have a son that isn't kind or isn't gentle. So we don't want that for our sons. So let's be intentional about having those conversations about the importance of forgiveness. And again, let's make sure that you and I are modeling that. The next thing I want to talk about is teaching our sons to be peacemakers. Peacemakers are a blessing to their family, their church, their workplace, and their neighborhoods. You know, Matthew 5:9 says, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God." Work for peace. There's effort there. There's intentionality there. It's hard. And sometimes, no matter what we do, we can't create peace. You know, Paul said, as much as it's up to you, live at peace with everyone. There are going to be times when you've done everything you can, and people still don't want to live at peace. And I can hear some of you saying, "No, John, we don't need more peacemakers. We need more warriors." That's the problem, is we have too many people that are soft and don't want to ever create waves, and we need more warriors. We need men who will stand on biblical principles. It's not an either-or situation. We need both. So absolutely, I would agree with you. We need men who are warriors. We need men who are kings. You know, we need men who will stand on biblical truth, but we need men who are peacemakers. So I'm not talking about backing down when biblical truth is challenged. We can still stand up for biblical truth. But in the relationships in your home, have you modeled men to your son what it looks like to be a peacemaker? I really believe that men are called to lead in the home. We've done many podcasts on that, the roles that God has for men and women in marriage. I believe men are called to lead. And one of the ways that we lead is we lead in reconciliation. Does your son see you do that? When there's been conflict in your marriage, when there's been conflict between you and your kids, do they see you as the one who tries to initiate reconciliation? I think that's one of the most important ways that you and I can lead. When there is so much division right now among believers, I just feel like we live in a time where more and more people choose to divide over non-essential things. I feel like, now I'm only 51 years old, I know there's a lot that I don't know, but I feel like in my 51 years on this earth, there's more division between believers over the last couple of years than ever. You know, ministries are popping up all over the internet, all on YouTube, and it seems like the only purpose they have is to criticize other ministries. I know the value of calling out false teaching. I know that we're called to protect the flock. Trust me, I know that. But I have to question when a ministry comes up and the only thing they do is critique other ministries. When are you sharing the gospel? When are you out meeting with unbelievers and explaining to them that God loves you, but your relationship with him is broken, but he sent Jesus Christ who lived the perfect life, and if you put your trust in him and repent and turn to him, he can save you, instead of spending 6 months straight of just calling out other ministries? So does your son know how to get along with people who have different views than he has on secondary issues? Does he know how to not have to even voice his opinion every time he's in a conversation where someone has a different perspective on something? Again, I'm not saying that our son should never be able to do that. I think engaging in healthy conversation with other believers on secondary issues is important because it drives me back to God's word. It causes me to really be able to defend scripturally why I take a position on a certain topic. And hopefully, it keeps me humble. Hopefully, it's a good reminder every time I'm in one of those conversations that I have brothers and sisters who love Jesus just as much as I do that have a different perspective on that. And they probably have a different perspective on that for a reason. And if they can defend that reason biblically, then I should really listen to what they have to say. And I should be willing to go, hey, maybe I have this wrong. Now, I'm not saying that being a peacemaker or even listening well always means I agree. Of course, it doesn't mean that. We're not always going to agree. But are we showing our sons how to be peacemakers? I think sometimes there's a stereotype that, you know, women are the gossipers. And maybe that's true. I don't know. Maybe women gossip more than men. But I'll just tell you, in all my years of coaching, there were so many times that God convicted me that we were just standing around after practice and doing nothing more than gossip, complaining about decisions the head coach was making, complaining about decisions maybe one of the coordinators made. But we didn't go up and talk to them directly. You know, we didn't go right to the person and say, hey, I've got some concerns. No, we just kind of griped and complained about it behind their back. That's gossip. And I know we tried to justify that. You know, we were not peacemakers. So I know, men, we struggle with this. I think just as much as women do. I think we can get into a situation where instead of working for peace in relationships, we're more concerned about just getting our own opinion out. We're more concerned in defending our perspective. So what are some practical tips or practical ways we can speak to our sons about being peacemakers? Number one, let's just remember some guys are more articulate than others. So for some of our sons, this is going to be more difficult than others. You know, if they have a tough time articulating what they're feeling, then this is going to be harder for them. It doesn't mean they shouldn't still engage in it. Just means, you know, they need more help. They need more power from the Holy Spirit to be able to engage in it. The reality is some guys are better listeners, but we can all get better at that. You know, wherever we are right now, as far as our listening skills, that is a learned skill. That's something we can get better. That's something we should teach our sons in our marriage basics that we have at Pursue God. When we talk about healthy couples keep talking, we get into some of those listening skills, and that's something that you can share with your son. So one of those skills is reflective listening, speaking back to the person that you're talking to. So what I hear you saying is, and then repeating what you think they are trying to communicate. And it is amazing how often I've done that in relationships, and I was close, but what I heard wasn't exactly what they were trying to communicate. So teaching your son reflective listening would be a great skill. Another skill you can teach your son is how to listen without thinking through your rebuttal. Men are really good at that. We're problem solvers. We want to fix things. And so in our mind, if you're presenting something logically, but I've got a different perspective, then I want to show you, I want to give you evidence. I want to show you logically why you're thinking about it incorrectly. And so sometimes I can listen through the grid of, I'm really just preparing my rebuttal. So helping our sons to learn how to just truly listen. And then along with that is teaching our sons the value of having hard conversations. I said earlier, sometimes when someone wrongs us, we just eat it. And I fully believe that. I don't think we need to have a hard conversation every time someone sins against us. But there are times when we need to have hard conversations. Oftentimes those hard conversations, if you are a peacemaker, is when you're not even the one in the situation. You know, maybe our son sees something going on between his siblings and he wants to try and be a peacemaker for that. So sometimes it doesn't even directly involve them. That, man, imagine if we had more men who were actively engaged in having hard conversations and trying to be peacemakers. You know, one of our core values at our church is that we work hard at healthy relationships and we assume the best about others. Healthy relationships are a lot of work. Some relationships are easier than others, but a healthy relationship is a lot of work. Are we modeling for our sons that it's worth the work? And are we being intentional about speaking that truth into them that, hey, son, it's worth the work. And let's work hard at being peacemakers. One more thing I want to talk about today is helping our sons know where their value comes from. Because we live in a culture that's going to try to convince our sons that their value is going to come from their career, their value is going to come from their wealth, their value is going to come from power or influence. And we need to lay the foundation that their value comes from their identity in Christ. I think that is one of the biggest struggles in my life, and I'll bet in a lot of your lives, is balancing work and my relationship with Jesus, balancing work and my relationship with family. And that was true before I was in vocational ministry, and that is still true now that I am in vocational ministry. Jesus talks a lot about this pressure that we experience to make it all about career and stuff and money in Matthew 6. He says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." I don't think I did a phenomenal job at this with my sons when they were still living at home. I wish I would have done better. But I do remember having very intentional conversations with them when they were young, very little, about why we chose to have their mom be able to stay at home and not work outside the home. My wife was able to homeschool our kids up until high school for our boys, and I'm not advocating that everybody should homeschool. That's a different conversation for a different time. But we were just intentional about explaining to our kids that, you know, we may not take the fancy vacations every year that some families get to take. We might not drive brand new cars, but we've chosen to allow your mom to stay home. We've chosen to make some sacrifices on that end so that she can be here for you guys, so that she can pour into you, so that we can do school here at home. And those conversations were well received, actually. I'm super blessed. Now, maybe it's because one of my child's has special needs. And I think when you have a child who's special needs, the other children aren't as petty, for lack of a better word. They don't get hung up on some of the non-essential or material stuff as much because they realize just, you know, having their health and having all their faculties is a huge blessing. So they received those conversations well, and we talked about those things. Jesus continues this line of thought about possessions and money in verse 24 of Matthew 6. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." You know, our sons are going to be told from the time they pay attention, really, until they're finished with school, until they finish with college, if they go that route, or until they're finished with trade school or whatever they do, that it's all about money. It's all about power and prestige. Hard work is good. I love the fact that the Bible teaches that work was a good thing. Work did not happen because of the fall. We know that Adam and Eve were tending the garden. They had responsibilities before the fall. We talked about the value of teaching our sons how to work hard in the last episode. But work, career, possessions can easily become an idol. And we need to be intentional about the kinds of conversations we're having with our sons. I think we need to teach our sons how to be patient. Patient with material things. We should have very frank conversations about buying things on credit. Now, whether or not you're a Dave Ramsey fan, you know, every part of his program. I don't know if I would say I agree 100% with Dave Ramsey, but a ton of his stuff I think is dead on. I think it's very biblical. And we have an entire generation of young people who look at the home and the cars and the toys that their parents have, and they think they deserve those things at 25. It's crazy to me. I don't know how young couples do it. The way housing prices are right now, and I see these young couples in their mid-20s who live in a new home and drive nice cars. And, you know, I know what they do for a living, and I don't know how they do it. I know that they're both working, and I know that both of them are likely, if either one of them loses their job for more than a couple of weeks, they're going to lose everything because they're up to their eyeballs in debt. So talk to your son about being patient. Talk to your son about where true happiness and joy and contentment come from. You know, Paul said that through Christ who strengthened him, he had learned how to be content in every situation. Is your son content? Does your son know that God doesn't put any more value on him if he makes $200,000 a year as if he makes $70,000 a year? And again, I'm not against money, guys. I know you're not against money. Money's not evil in and of itself. It's the love of money that's the evil. But there's just going to be this constant pull on them that their value comes from their career. You know, I talk to so many men that when work's not going well, they feel like their life is a failure. And in my mind, I'm like, guys, that's just, it's just one area of your life. If your family's doing well, if your wife loves you and she feels cherished and supported, and your kids respect you and they're healthy emotionally and spiritually and mentally and physically, man, if work's kind of on the downer right now, that's still a pretty amazing life. But we tie so much of our value into our job. So help your son understand where his value really comes from. Help him to store treasures in heaven. Model that for him. And if that's not something you've done a good job modeling up to this point, ask for forgiveness. It'd be a great opportunity for you to practice what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Just ask for forgiveness. You know, son, I just want you to know I've recognized I had some of my priorities out of whack. I put too much emphasis on my career at times, and I want to ask you to forgive me for that. Model that for them so that they don't make the same mistakes, so that they know where their value comes from. Have this conversation with your sons. Have this conversation with your grandsons. We're going to do one more episode on fathers and sons. And the last one, it's only going to be one topic, but it's going to be a broad topic, and that is sexual purity. Because, man, if we think the culture is trying to attack our sons on the whole issue of where your value comes from, they are absolutely trying to attack our sons on the idea of sexual purity. So join us on the next episode for that.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.